Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Maria Elena Salinas is one of the most respected and recognized journalists in the world, a household name for over 57 million Hispanics living in the U.S. and millions more in 18 countries where her work is seen. Called by the New York Times the voice of Hispanic America, after more than three decades as co-anchor of Univision Network's national newscast and co-host of the primetime news magazine, she begins a new chapter in her career as an independent journalist and producer. Multiple awards, including seven Emmys, a Peabody Award, Lifetime Achievement Award, recently inducted into the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and now searching for truth behind headline-making crimes, an investigation discovers the real story with Maria Elena Salinas, back for Season 2, premiering Monday, June 4th at 10 Eastern Pacific. And Maria Elena joins us on This Week in America. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you back with us.
Hi, Rick. Good to talk to you. Such a pleasure.
Thank you. Looking forward to Season 2, and it's interesting, you've said before, one of the most important lessons you've learned during that prolific career is there's always more to the story. How fulfilling is it to actually have the time where you can find that more?
No, I think it is important, and that's why, to me, these types of programs and long-form programs are very important to me, because you do have the time to really dig in, to be able to tell the story and to try to get the information so that you can tell the story, to be able to convince those people that were directly involved, whether they're family members, whether they're prosecutors or detectives or, you know, witnesses or friends or journalists who have been taking the time to really dig into these stories and then, you know, do the interviews with them and get this information out that's never been told before. That's why we call it the real story, because we always sort of find the story behind it, the truth behind the story. And it's not only for the sake of information, it's really to do the victim justice. I think it's very, very important that we realize that we don't want to let them just go by as another statistic. We're talking about human beings, a person with a name and a face and a story to be told that is, you know, is worth telling. And it's definitely something that helps family members give closure or get closure when they can just, you know, talk about it.
Well, you've talked about giving the victim the time and the recognition they deserve to tell their story and the victims' families. Talk about how important that is and the reaction you get from victims and family members, because for many, these probably fall in the cold case category and they think they're forgotten.
Exactly, and a lot of them are. You know, usually, what do you see in the news? You see statistics. You know, X amount crime has gone up, X amount percent, or crime has gone down, and, you know, thousands of people have been murdered. But they're just another number. And then we realize that we need to know the circumstances under which each crime occurs. Why is it important? It's not just important to honor the person, but also we need to be able to understand what the signs are of danger. Because one common denominator that I have found in most of these stories anyway, is that these crimes could have been prevented. If someone had seen the signs, if someone had spoken out to talk about what they saw,
yes.
If someone had maybe held their abuser accountable in the past, and they wouldn't have been able to get away with a crime that then they end up, you know, an abuser can become a murderer. An abuser has the potential of becoming a murderer. And sometimes people just move from one city to the next, and they trust, you trust anyone to come into your home. You trust anyone that will join you. Now, I am a mother of a 21-year-old girl, daughter and a 23-year-old daughter, and to be honest with you, this has me in such fear of who is going to come into their lives, because, you know, murderers don't always show their ugly face. They show their more charming side.
Yes.
And then we realize that person we trust ends up being a monster.
Well, that's what came out of season one. You look at some of these people, and it's like, I probably would have welcomed them with open arms. They seemed like decent people, and I probably would have befriended them. Award-winning journalist Maria Elena Salinas with us on This Week in America, returning to Investigation Discovery, season two of the hit series, The Real Story with Maria Elena Salinas. Monday, June 4th, the premiere, 10 o'clock Eastern Pacific. Let's talk about that first episode, the first one we see, the premiere, and you talked before about oftentimes there are warning signs there. Talk about the case of Jesse Bardwell and the fact that you do an interview with someone that now wishes they would have come forward and aggressively pursued charges against them.
Exactly. Jesse Bardwell, a young woman that she moved to Dallas, in the Dallas area, to Richardson, Texas, with a boyfriend she had just met. And, you know, we speak to her father in a heart-wrenching interview where he feels very sad for losing his daughter, but also very guilty for thinking that he didn't protect her, you know, but there really was not much that he could have done. That means the signs were there because Jesse was being sort of separated from her family. Jesse should have been able to detect that, you know, no man that loves you is going to tell you, you know, stay away from your father, or stay away from your mother, or stay away from your family, and just dedicate your entire time to me. You know, that's just not something a loving person does. And, you know, unfortunately, Jesse died in the hands of Jason Lowe. But what's interesting about this is that there's another woman, Christine Chambers, who now comes out and says, I wish I would have held him accountable because 2 years before, he tried to kill me. And even though she did go to authorities at the moment, she dropped the charges 2 weeks later because of pressures that she felt from her peers. She worked together with this guy. And her peers and her friends said, you know, you can't do this to him. You're going to ruin his life. Just drop the charges. She drops the charges not knowing that this guy was a potential murderer. So she feels guilty now that she could have prevented Jesse's murder if she had held him accountable for what he did to her.
For the second season, we see you traveling around the country. You were limited somewhat last year with the heavy workload you had at Univision. What has that meant for you, the fact that you're out there, you're face-to-face with these people in all these cases as you travel across the country? You get to visit the city. You get to see where the people lived. What impact does that have on you, the fact that you're actually out on the road this year?
Yeah, there was a lot of traveling this time around, and you know, there were many cases in which the person just couldn't travel to where I was to do the interview. You know, they either physically couldn't do it, or they just felt too much pain to be able to leave their home and travel somewhere. I guess they felt guilty about feeling like they were coming to Miami on vacation when they really weren't. They were just coming to tell their story. So I think it's important to go and make them feel comfortable. They're in their own territory. I think there's a certain calm that someone feels knowing that they are home and that I'm coming to them and that they can tell me their story and feel confident that I will treat their story with respect. And that, you know, happens particularly with the family members of those who have died. I mean, we can just imagine those of us who are parents. How would we feel if our child, whether they're 3 years old or 30 years old or 50 years old, how would we feel if our child is killed? There's just so many emotions that go through your mind and your heart, and it's very difficult sometimes to sit in front of a TV camera and lights and have someone question you about it. So it's important to be able to go to them, make them feel comfortable about it, make them understand that that we are there to listen to them and to respect, you know, whatever it is that they want us to respect. If they don't want us to ask certain questions, we won't go there. We have to be able to feel their pain. And that's something that I feel that I have done all of my career. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of these people just, you know, trust me. And I'm really grateful for that. And I feel blessed for that.
Well, in one of the stories this year that you'll jump into, you talk about a three-year-old dying, a three-year-old boy kidnapped for ransom, murdered in 1984. Talk about that, the tragedy of this young life taken in this senseless crime.
You know, that is one of the most heart-wrenching stories that I have done this season. When you think of a three-year-old child and how vulnerable a three-year-old child is, that was taken from his bed in his house with a house full of people, not just sleeping next to his sister and three other people sleeping in the same room, but with at least 10 other family members and friends and guests sleeping in the house. How could this happen? And, you know, it ends up being someone who was allowed into the house and trusted that maybe shouldn't have been trusted. And it took decades for this case to be cleared. We spoke to the father, we spoke to the mother, we spoke to the sister of this little boy, we spoke to detectives and prosecutors who worked in this case. And really, this case should have been solved long before. And, you know, I wondered, could this little boy's life have been saved? Well, you know, maybe if the parents hadn't been so trusting and just letting people into their homes. But then again, how could you tell that a person that seems to be your friend ends up being your enemy and is going to hurt a member of your family? So it's really, really sad, especially when you see someone that young being murdered. I mean, we don't even want that mental picture of a little boy being murdered. We just don't want to see it. But we do, you know, hear the story of how this came to be and how it was finally cleared and discovered.
And it's important for parents to watch and understand, absorb what they're seeing. We're talking about the new season of The Real Story with Maria Elena Salinas at airs on Investigation Discovery, premiering Monday, June 4th, 10 Eastern Pacific. You have this knack of finding new evidence and getting unheard of perspectives, stories that have not been told and heard before. Talk about how the process you go through in the team, once you decide to take on a story, we're going to look into this. Talk about how you structure that, how that all fits into place.
You know, there are a lot of crimes, and I always say that fortunately for those of us who work in the true crime genre, we have a lot of material to work with because there's so many cases, but unfortunately we have so many to work with because it's just so sad that there is just so much hatred out there. But, you know, what we do is we try to look for stories where we find something new. And some people don't know this, but when you go to trial, not all the evidence is accepted. We have a justice system that is supposed to be the best justice system in the world, but it doesn't always turn out that way. You know, we see sometimes incompetence, negligence, or corruption, or, you know, simply the rights of an accused person to defend themselves and not have their story told. So if you know that a man tried to kill his wife before, and there's history about that, but yet now there's a new crime, there's a new case, but you cannot even mention the fact that this person attempted to kill his previous wife, you know, it's very complicated for us to comprehend how that is justice. If we would have known that this person attempted to kill his wife before, you know, it might change your mind about this new attempt to kill his new wife or his girlfriend or whoever it was. So we just want to make sure that we speak to everyone involved, the family members, the prosecutors, the investigators, you know, journalists, writers that sometimes take the time to write a book and really dig deep into these cases. So we have all these different perspectives. And why do we want to know that? Well, first of all, we want to know that justice is served and in our country and society because it's part of our democracy. We also want to know how we can detect the signs of danger that sometimes are in front of us or around the corner and we're not able to detect them. We want to try to understand the mind of a killer. So it's definitely a learning experience for us.
What's it like?
For those of us who work in the team and for those of us who watch the show.
Well, and it's interesting that you have possibly relevant information you think, and it's inadmissible. It's going to be fascinating watching all of this unfold with new information during the second season. A minute or so left in the program. What's it like to be able to work with a network like Investigation Discovery, the leading true crime network in the country, where they say to you, we trust you, you take the team, you go find the stories, here's your time period, use it wisely. What's it like to have that ability?
Oh, well, of course, I'm honored that Investigation Discovery believed in me to allow me to do this program. I've worked in Spanish language media for, you know, 37 years, and about 2.5 to 3 years ago is when we began the conversation with Investigation Discovery. And, you know, I think we soon realized that we did want to work together. I wanted to work I was very respectful and admire the work that they do there, and they believed in the work that I do. And it took a few months for us to come up with the concept of the show, but I feel privileged and honored that they trust me enough to put these shows together. But not only Investigation Discovery, I feel so privileged that the people that I'm interviewing trust me enough to talk to me. You know, it's difficult for someone to tell their story, especially when you have lost a loved one. And it's been really interesting to see how, I would say, you know, 80% maybe, 90% of the people that I have interviewed come to tell me about myself. They have researched me. Just like we research them, they research us. They research our show. They research me as an interviewer. They research some of the producers to see the work that they have done in the past. You know, people don't trust anyone anymore. So you want to make sure that if you're going to tell, you know, your story, if you're going to open up your heart to someone, that it's someone that you're able to trust. So, you know, I feel, like I said, very lucky, very blessed that I have been able to, you know, to build that reputation and that trust. And I hope not to ever break the trust.
You see that as you're talking to people, that comfort level, that trust factor is there where they realize I'm not being exploited. She is listening to me and she really cares about me and what happened. Award-winning journalist Maria Elena Salinas returns to Investigation Discovery, season 2, the hit series, The Real Story with Maria Elena Salinas, premiering Monday, June 4th, 10 Eastern Pacific. Once again, a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much. Looking forward to season 2.
Thank you for the opportunity, Rick, to talk to you about this show, and can't wait to hear everyone's comments on it once it starts airing next week. Thank you once again.
You're welcome. Looking forward to season 2, Investigation Discovery, The Real Story with Maria Elena Salinas. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. That was fun. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you so much. And thanks for asking the personal question, you know, to asking the personal part of it, because, you know, we usually just try to focus not on ourselves. We're not the story. They're the story. The cases are the story. The victims are the story. But, you know, it is true. And sometimes I'm so surprised when people say, oh, you know, I know this about you, and I know that about you, and I know, you know, where you lived before and things like that. And we know you have daughters, and so, you know, it's nice.
That really helps to get the story because, like I say, they trust you. It's like they're sitting talking to a friend. They feel like they know you. So suddenly they open up, and again, they don't feel like they're being exploited, that they're being used for a television program, and that comes across.
Yeah, I'm very lucky.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Okay, let the games begin.